how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil.
So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17.
And I will worship you with all of my heart.
And I will worship you with all of my mind.
And I will worship you with all of my strength.
You are my Lord. You are my Lord.
Oh.
I think I'm getting older. Man, I just watch them and everything in me starts to seize up, you know. This last year has been a wonderful year, and we're going to talk about launching into 2004. But before we do, there's a wonderful video that was put together that gives you a little glimpse, and you'll see some amazing statistics that took place over in 2003 so that you can see that God was at work in this last year, and he'll even be more so in this next. But let's take a look in just a rare review of what God did in 2003. Let's take a look.
Thank you.
Welcome to 2004. I'm so glad about what God will be doing in our midst, and you're part of it. We're right on the brink of something wonderful. The greatest miracles are still ahead of us because the miracles continue. And here to tell us about it is Rod Shimabukuro. That's right. He's going to give us a glance of what took place in 60 seconds. Are you ready, Rod? All right, we've practiced this. So I need you to listen to what took place, the highlights of 2003. Are you ready? All right. Take it away.
This year kicked off with the launch of our Leeward satellite site, which has grown to nearly 1,200 attendees.
Yay, Leeward!
Throughout the year, we planted two churches on the Big Island, another on Kauai, and one each in Australia, Las Vegas, and Los Angeles. The Doing Church as a Team conference was a success in January. Our own video team captured national recognition, winning 3 Telly Awards. This year's Easter celebration was one that we'll never forget. Connecting Point captured a TV audience as it premiered this year. Pacific Rim Bible College awarded degrees to its second graduating class. The Spirit of Aloha outreaches throughout the year really helped the community. And students from the junior high and high school ministries experienced the Molokai Oceanside Retreat for the first time. We can't forget the 8th anniversary Paniola Festival. Congratulations to our paddling teams for crossing the Molokai Channel. What about the youth production of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat? Amazing! We also celebrated New Hope Waikai's first anniversary in December. Woohoo! And finally, our first major TV special and an Island Christmas with New Hope made a successful debut. Ah, wow, what a year! Happy New Year!
We've had a wonderful year in 2003, and the church has become a part of the community in great ways.
New Hope isn't about coming to a facility and meeting and going home, but really being a part of the community. And so we've helped schools such as Farrington High School, Kalakaua Middle School, and several of the other schools in our area. We've also had one of our biggest island-wide outreaches ever, and we had over 800 volunteers that went across the entire island, helping out different agencies, feeding the homeless, visiting elderly care homes. We'll do it again this next year. We'll call it the Spirit of Aloha Island-wide Outreach.
May you enjoy continued success for your organization and in all of your future endeavors. Aloha, signed, Governor Lingle. Can we all stand and give a big round of applause to yourself and Pastor Cordero?
It's been a great year, but we've also had our fair share of fun. This has been a tremendous year, and it's all because of the many, many people who threw their hearts over the line and those who put their hand to the plow and didn't look back. New Hope has had lots of programs, lots of outreaches, so many activities that are going on. And it's all because of our love for the people of Hawaii, and you've been a part of that. This church will only be as involved as you are. And the bottom line of everything? Change lives.
I had always had the desire to attend church and to know God more. But for different reasons, I never took that step.
But when I walked into New Hope and God started working on my heart.
When we came here, it's when we started growing as a family.
I cannot imagine what we would be doing now if it wasn't for New Hope.
Every life that's transformed is a story. It's something that the Lord sees as a trophy because His children have come home. Lives will have been restored, families repaired. All kinds of wonderful blessings will be poured out because of His children coming home.
I came the first time, and I thought, no, this is not for me. The next week, I tried again.
I was all alone. I walked in there, lost in the crowd.
I sat down on that third row, and I looked up.
It felt like they were there talking directly to
talking
me.
Talking just to me.
Talking about me.
How did he know that I was coming to service today? And how did he know that he needed to speak out to me?
And every time I left, I kind of wondered, I wonder what everyone else is doing here, because God was speaking just to me.
Wayne had asked the congregation if anyone was ready to give their lives to Jesus.
Just do it now, raise your hand, he's waiting for you. And I was just so moved, you know, and I raised my hand.
But my hand went straight up.
It's been probably one of the best decisions of my life.
I just felt lighter, and I felt a love that I hadn't experienced in years and years and years.
The miracle continues as we pray for others in this next year. Be a part of it, and you watch, you wait, you'll see what God is about to do.
Now, wasn't that great? I think God should get a big round of applause. Would you just say thanks to the Lord? Lord, thank you for all your grace and goodness. Wow. Well, welcome to the very first weekend of our new year in 2004. Would you take out your notes? And let's read what Ephesians 5 says as we talk about making the most of our time. We have many days ahead of us now, and we're kind of coming out of the starting blocks. We want to make sure that we make the most of it. Let's read what Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 say. Go. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Would you underline making the most of your time? Why? And then underline because the days are evil. You know, I can't believe it's already a new year. It just seemed like we just started 2003. But some days, it seems like you have so much time, and then some days, it seems like you have so little. Isn't that something? Some years, time just flies, and then other times, it just seems like it drags. I feel like, though, now that I'm going to be turning 52 this year, I feel like Ecclesiastes when it says, one day I was young, and now I am old. Especially now when the AARP keeps sending me stuff in the mail. Makes me sick. They want me to join this and join that as a senior citizen. I can't believe that. I don't want to get old until I read this little article on how valuable older people are. Listen to this. Old folks are worth a fortune. They have silver in their hair and gold in their teeth. They have stones in their kidneys and gas in their stomachs. This one person says, I have become a lot more social with the passing of the years. Some might even call me pretty indiscreet for an old lady. I've been seeing 5 gentlemen every day. That's right. As soon as I awake, willpower helps me out of bed. And then I go see John. Then Charlie Horse comes along. And when he leaves, Arthur Ritus shows up. He stays the rest of the day. And it's such a busy day, so I'm really tired and glad to go to bed with Ben Gay. What a life I have. The preacher came to call the other day, and he said that at my age, I should be thinking about the hereafter. I told him I do all the time, no matter where I am, upstairs, kitchen, basement, I'm always asking myself, now what am I hereafter? You know, the Bible talks a lot about time. In fact, it's a major component to life. Time is what allows bread to rise. Time is what allows interest to accumulate. Time also is what allows crops to grow. Time is what allows youths to mature. You've seen on the platform tonight some of our young people being involved, and 3 new young singers. They're high schoolers and 14 years old, 15. So it's time that allows them to mature. It's time that allows friendships to form. It's time that allows fruit to develop. It's time
that allows children to grow. But then again, it's time also what causes food to rot and feet to stink and hair to get lost too, you know. But time is like wind. You see, everybody has time. But like wind, you can just let it tussle your hair or you can harness it into energy. It's like energy. You can use it to light homes, hundreds of homes, or with it you can destroy the same. See, it's not just time. It really comes down to how you use it and how well are you going to harness it this year. Because every single day, every single one of us is given 86,400 seconds. Every single one of us is given that. And at the end, God is going to see how well we harnessed it. How well did we convert it into this stuff called life? It's not how much time we have. It's how well we've harnessed what we've already been given. Would you write in your notes, everyone has been given time. Everyone has time. It's how we use it that will determine our success. Everyone has 86,400 seconds. Henry David Thoreau said it this way, you cannot kill time without injuring something of eternity. Isn't that good? Diogenes, the Greek philosopher, said this, time is the most valuable thing a man can spend. Yeah, it's not money, it's time. Time is the most valuable thing. Time invested well will build great families. Time invested well will develop renowned musicians. Time invested well will develop world-class leaders that'll change our communities. In fact, in biblical times, you know, they talked about time as watches, the first watch of the day, the second watch of the day, as if they're saying, watch how you're going to use this. Now, this is the second watch, and then the third watch. In fact, Ecclesiastes reminds us that he uses the word seasons. This is a season for growing. It's a season for this. There's always a purpose in every season. They didn't just let time go by. It was a season because it had a reason for it and there was a purpose for it. Psalm 90 in verse 12 is not in your notes, but you can write that reference. It says, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we might present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to know like a countdown how well we're doing. Are we fulfilling the purposes that you've called us for? Now, Ephesians posts a warning and it says, you've got to make the most of your time because the days are what? Do you remember? Evil. Yeah, in other words, what he's saying is we are going to be living in a culture that wars against the good use of time. With the advent of entertainment and games that demand inordinate amounts of our time and returns very little in reply. We live in an age that's evil, or it works against a good use of time. Because we can get entertained into oblivion if we're not careful. And we will squander everything of time that could have built a great family, could have built a great marriage, could have built great friendships, could have built a great ministry, could have developed another renowned musician, a great leader. This stuff called time, how are you going to harness it? Is it just going to blow by, or are you going to use it? Is it going to get squandered by these little things that come up? Or are we going to invest it? Make the most of your time. You know, often we come to get entertained and we will pay for something to take up our time. And it's done well. But boy, I tell you, it's a big business and we have to be careful. Just one movie, Finding Nemo, brought in $350 million. People paid $350 million for that. Now, it took time for someone to make that movie. But at the same time, if you think about it, that amount of time we can use also to build great lives, great marriages. But if we take time from that and use it for something else, this will not be built. It's how are you going to harness time? Where are you going to put it towards? It's like an investment, and you only have so much of it. How are you going to parse it out to that which means the most? Well, in Ephesians, it gives us some hints as to how we, as we approach the new year, some guidelines in investing this thing called time, parsing it out well so that at the end of the year we have the best, most optimum return for our investment. Well, what is it that it speaks about? We're going to walk through about 5-10 of these scriptures right there in Ephesians, and we're going to see what the Bible says about making the most of our time. The first is this. Would you write in your notes, know God's will for this year? Know God's will. For not to may cause us to live foolishly. Ephesians says that. Let's read Ephesians 5 together. Go. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you see what he's saying? You must understand what the will of God is for this year. It's sort of like this. Say you've been awarded a free ticket from United Airlines. And so you get all excited and you run up to the counter and you say, I want my ticket. Okay. Well, give me my ticket. I will. Well, give me a ticket. Well, the first thing you got to tell her is what? Yeah. They cannot help you, even if they have the power to help you, the authority to help you, to grant you whatever, until you know where you're going. And even God in all of his power would like to help you, but we need to know what the will of God is for this year. And the obvious question is, where do you think God wants you to go? In other words, what things must I accomplish for God to say, I am moving a few steps closer to God's purposes for my life? You might be a student. You might be a parent. You might be an employer, a minister. Where do you need to be at this time next year? What are some of the things that you'll need to do? If your answer is, well, I'm not sure, would you write in your first bullet, then we all must take time to plan. Take time to plan. You say, but what if I don't really know? Start anyway with what you think. What do you mean? Proverbs 16:9 says this. Go. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. God is going to what? Direct your steps. But your mind has to plan. Now listen, if the mind does not plan, what does the Lord have to direct? So you start. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I've got X amount of years left in my life of energy. I've got X amount of days left in this year. What do you want me to do so that when I am standing before you, I can hear you say, well done. Someone once said, if you're failing to plan, you're planning to fail. So you say, well, Wayne, what about goals? Yep, make goals, but not in the old traditional way. Would you write down your next point? Goals are points of obedience and improvement. Goals are points of obedience and improvement. You see, often we put goals as, I like to get a bigger house, or I'd like to get this or that, or I get to this more possessions here and more possessions there. I'm going to really work hard at it. No, the best goals are points of obedience. In other words, Lord, what do you want me to become this year? Think about areas that God has been speaking to you about, and I've not yet complied. Maybe deeper devotions, more consistent devotions, to be involved more in ministry, to go to the second mile service, or to be involved in a care group or a life group. Maybe it's an area of health or weight or my words or relationships that I need to improve on. What are some of the areas that I need to improve on? And I sit before the Lord and I say, okay, God, this is what I need to do. And I write them down. You need to be able to plan. Now remember, every year there's 20% brand new knowledge that comes into the workplace. 20%. And so just to stay even, I've got to grow 20% just to stay even. So if you stop growing today, how many years before you are basically obsolete? 5 years. And we need to keep growing every single year. Now listen, if there's something that you can improve, anything, do that. If you can improve 1% a day, just 1%, wouldn't that be great? Right after World War II, Dr. W. Edward Demings went into Japan. And if you recall back then in the 60s, if you turned something over and it said made in Japan, what did that mean? It was junk. So Dr. Edward Demings went in and worked with the Japanese government and businesses and put together some codes or some core values. And one of them was this. If you will improve something about yourself and your product every day, even if it's just something really little, within 10 years, you'll turn your economy around. And within 30 years, he said, you will become a world power economically. Well, bought it hook, line, and sinker to the point where they coined a new word, Kaizen, which means keep improving every day as a lifestyle. Not something you just arrive at and hold on to, but just make improving every day just a part of your life. I'm going to improve something today. Well, they did that, and within 10 years, they had turned their whole economy around, and within 30 years, they became a world power economically, a land that has no natural resources, zero. But if you think about it, it's true. They'll take one of our cars that they don't develop. They don't have steel. They don't have ore there in their own ground, but they'll take cars and take them over there, and they'll improve it, and then they'll sell it back to us at twice the price, and we buy them. They'll take a camera to Japan. They improve it, sell it back to us. So most of our cameras, our cars, computers are all from Japan. Did they develop that? Not necessarily, but they improved on it, and they sold it back to us. And that's all a part of that Kaizen. Now, I think if they can do it for money and economy, how much more should we this year be improving ourselves for the kingdom of God, for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many of you believe that he's worth our very best in improvement? I do. So if we did it 1% a day, just 1%, improve something, the way you stand, the way you sit, the way you smile, the way you look at people when you talk to them instead of at the ground. I mean, comb your hair, put deodorant on, tie your shoes, anything. Improve something about yourself, 1% a day, then at the end of this year, you will have improved yourself over 300%. How many of you think you could use a little improving? Raise your hand. Yeah. 300%. Something about yourself. For whom? Not for me. For the sake of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is saying, make the best of your time. I'm going to give you 86,400 seconds. Now, how are you going to parse that out in such a way that it's going to improve you for the things of God, to help you to become all that I've created you to be? And so God is saying, take these goals, but they're goals of obedience and improvement, and begin that. Well, what's one of the very first things that you can do in improving? Well, would you write down number 2? Start by renewing your heart back to God. Start by renewing your heart back to God. Each of us need to do that. Let's read what Ephesians 5:18 says. Go. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What he's saying is, don't be motivated by artificial means to get things done, but be motivated by the Spirit of God. In other words, don't put down goals that say, oh, if I get that, man, I'll be well known. Or if I get that, oh, man, I'll look good. No, don't be motivated by wrong means. Be motivated by the Spirit of God. In other words, what is God saying to you about your family, about your life, about your devotions? Start there and renew your heart back to God to say, Lord, I've got to make sure that my heart is in the right place. Otherwise, we all know that you can be going after a goal all year long. It's with the wrong motive. The wrong motive. And at the end of the year, the Lord says, you missed the whole batch of time. It's gone. So make sure that our hearts are renewed back to God, that the things that we're doing are being done out of a right motive, so that our heart is, Lord, I'm doing this because of your Spirit. This is what I believe is the best thing to do. And as God cleans your motivation, he will help you. He will encourage you. He will give you power. If you've got the wrong motive and you're going after the wrong goal, someone said it this way, there can be two pains in life. One is not to get what you really want, and the other is to get it. Sometimes we want something so bad, we know it's not right, but we want it so bad. Oh, what a pain it is to not arrive at that. The other greater pain is if you did. And now you have a lot of cleanup to do. Well, you say, well, how do I know if I'm going after the right goals? Well, here's three things that has helped me immensely. Would you write in the first bullet there, ask God to fill you daily with his Spirit. Ask God to fill you with his Spirit every single day. Because you see, I in myself am too weak and too boneheaded and too self-consumed to do it under my own power. But the Bible says it this way in Galatians 5:17. It says the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another. In other words, if I try to fight temptation on my own, I will surely fail, because that's going to run out. Sooner or later, I'm going to say, ah, forget it. On the other hand, if I say, God, would you fill me with your spirit today? The Spirit of God will do battle against temptation much better than I can. And the big difference between the two is sometimes we say, well, I'm going to really, I'm just going to live for God this year. That's nice, and it sounds very stalwart, but here's something better. Instead of saying, I'm going to live for God this year, to say, Lord, come live your life through me this year. I'm going to work for God this year. That's nice, but it's better to say, Lord, come do your work through me this year. And it'll be done by the Spirit of God. It is not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Every single day, one of the best things that you can do is just stop and say, Lord, would you fill me with your Spirit so that your Spirit will be working through me, because I can't handle all the temptations. But Lord, if you'll fill me with your Spirit, you'll be able to ward that off and fight that for me. And here's another thing that it doesn't sound like it really is a part of this, but it is. Would you write in the second bullet there? Here's another thing to write into your calendar. Develop a spirit of encouragement. Develop a spirit of encouragement this year. Oh, one of the best things to do that gets our eyes off of ourselves a little bit is to encourage someone. Let's read what it says in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 now, as we work through a few verses. Go. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let me ask you this. How many of your lives, somewhere along the line, has been touched and transformed by somebody's genuine encouragement? Would you raise your hand? Yeah, every single one of us. I tell you, there's times where I never thought I could go any further, but it was a word of someone's encouragement, genuine encouragement, that gave me courage to continue. Hebrews 3:13 says it this way. It says, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Encourage one another day after day, while it's still called today, lest any of you become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. You know what God is saying? If we would encourage one another, our hearts would stay more supple to the things of God. But for lack of encouragement, we can have a tendency to get a little hard. God is saying it's important for us to give away this year words of encouragement, genuine encouragement, while it's still called today. In fact, would you make a commitment with me this year that let's do this every day? Every day, find one person to encourage. Just find somebody trying hard and encourage them. And you can find tons of those people around here because we have such great servants. But just go around and encourage somebody. I mean, just say to them, you know, you've got, you know, nice clothes, nice hair, nice voice, nice no hair, whatever it might be. But just find someone to encourage every single day. You know what God is saying? If you'll do that while it's still called today, there'll be fewer people getting hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I mean, it's just like it's a vitamin for the body of Christ, for the people of God. And so encourage one another daily. And then would you write in the next bullet? And here's the third thing that helps. Not only to ask God to fill you with His Spirit daily, and then encourage, find someone to encourage daily. And then would you write in the next bullet, develop a spirit of gratefulness. Let's go one verse more in Ephesians 5 as we work our way through it. And let's read this 20th verse. Go. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. He's saying always giving thanks for how many things? Yeah, would you underline that? Always giving thanks for all things. In other words, he's saying develop a spirit of gratefulness. You know, I think God is more concerned about my gratefulness than just about any other thing in my life. Because when I lose gratefulness, I've lost. I think we lose gratefulness the fastest, isn't it? Remember when you were just married and you had this little teeny cardboard apartment and you'd say, oh, this is heaven. And now you say, how long do we have to live in this hole? Oh, this gift of a car. Someone gave us this car. Oh, it's so wonderful. And now this is a piece of junk. There's so much rust on this thing. I get lockjaw from just looking at it. And we lose gratefulness. You know, like encouragement, let's find one thing every day to be thankful for and to be grateful for. Just one thing. Now, not everybody is used to that, but thank somebody sometime. Just be grateful. I was at a coffee cafe, a shop the other day, and just yesterday, and I was pouring some cream into my coffee, and the one who serves the coffee, came over, and a lady was wiping down some spilled cream and stuff. And I said, thank you. That was so nice of you. She looked up at me. She said, this is my job. I said, well, I'm still thankful. She said, this is my job. It's my job. I thought, okay. You know, and she looked at me as she walked away as if I was auditioning for a sci-fi movie or something. You know? You know, people are not used to people coming and giving genuine thankfulness. It's like, what do you want? What do you want? But let's just try to do that. Let's try to encourage one person every day, just with genuine encouragement, and be grateful for something each day. How many of you are grateful for the nice sunshine that came out today? Yeah. Oh, baby. I thought I had to build an ark with gopher wood. Man. So the book of Ephesians is saying, how do you do this? How do you make the most of your time this year? Plan ahead. See what God is saying about this year. Some character things that I need to do. Write them in. I just brought my calendar to show you that I get a little calendar. And it's like this. I got my Starbucks coupons right here. I just want you to know. It's a very simple thing, and I put something like this in, and even the books that I feel the Lord is asking me to read, I have 24 books that I'm going to read this year, and I actually write them in, and I check them off when I write them. And there's some goals I have down here, the little boxes that says you can do anything you want this year. I want to learn some new language. So I bought some stuff on Spanish, and I want to try learning some Chinese. So I have some stuff over here. I have exercise. I have a weight here that I don't want you to look at, but that I'm trying to keep, and a few other things. So I just write those down. Those are some goals that I have. And then some notes. These are some things the Lord asks me to do. So you can't see this too well, but that's my last week and a half. So I just write these things in, put a little check mark by them, and so that I can, whenever the Lord says, call this person, write this person a note, say this, I write it down. And then I make sure I do it because I want to stay obedient to the little teeny promptings of the Holy Spirit. And you know, when you stay obedient to the little teeny promptings of the Holy Spirit, He'll reveal to you more. Because you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in much. So just get a little something and keep yourself accountable, and you'll be surprised how you'll harness the 86,400 seconds that God gives to you, and you'll convert it into life and health. Friendships, depth in marriage, depth of devotion, a greater amount of faith. This is, you can make anything you want of it. And God is giving every single one of us the same amount every day. How are you going to make the most of it? God is saying, do it. Harness it well and convert it into life. And then the third thing that's so important that Ephesians says in this making the most of your time is prioritize relationships in family. Number three. Prioritize relationships in your family. Verse 22, verse 25 in Ephesians 6:1 together, let's read, go. Wives, be subject to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What is he saying? Prioritize relationships in your family this year. The darkest place of any lighthouse is always at its base. Because that's what we take for granted the most. Listen, wives, don't stop courting your husbands. Husbands, don't stop courting your wives. And you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. If there were more courting in marriage, there would be fewer marriages in court. And we all know there's no perfect spouse because Anna married the last one. But there shouldn't be that much laughter. But we've got to make sure that we keep courting one another. I mean, otherwise it's like Manuel brings his wife Mary to the doctor. And Mary is so listless and pale, pasty in color in her face. And Manuel's kind of, you know, passive himself. And so the doctor sits them both on the couch. And after a short interview, he realizes that Manuel is so passive, like zero romance, no bone of romance in his body. So the doctor says, I know what Mary needs. So he picks Mary up, gives her this passionate hug and a big old kiss. Well, she just brightens up. Whoa! And a big smile comes to her face. And the doctor says, see, Manuel, that's what she needs. Manuel said, well, I can bring her in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Prioritize relationships in your family this year. Because it's something that needs to be maintained. It's not something that you can put on cruise control. Man, you can put a bunch of stuff on cruise, but don't put family on cruise. Because it'll crash every single time. Prioritize your relationships and your family. There'll be times where the Holy Spirit, who is filling you, because you've asked Him to, will start to say to you, spend time with your daughter, spend time with your mom, spend time with your dad, spend time with your son. And you take a little thing here like this, and you write it down as one of the things you need to do. And then you put a little box there and say, I'm going to do it. Lord, I'm writing this down because, Lord, I want that to communicate to you that when you speak, I intend to do something with what you're saying. And you know what? Watch the Holy Spirit just reveal tons of stuff to you. And you'll begin to develop ears that hear and eyes that see. And at the end of 2004... you'll turn around and see that you've taken time and converted it into life. And it'll be one of the greatest years ever. Let's do that together. Amen. Let's stand.
So don't forget your assignments. The assignment is to encourage someone daily and to be grateful for something once a day. And to take this thing called 86,400 seconds and convert it to life. It won't convert automatically. You have to harness it and then parse it out in these things. And when you do, watch how God adds life to 2004. It's not going to come automatically. Oh, tasks will come. Maintenance will come. Just same old rigmarole and rote. But life, you got to harness and put in there. And God offers us that chance. Take it. Let's do it together. Can you say amen to that? And say thanks to the Lord. Tell Him you'll do it. Lord, we choose to do that with all our hearts. Father, thank you so much for a wonderful church as we stand on the cusp of a brand new year. We know that you've given us time, many days, over 300 of those. And Lord, we want to convert every day. Every day that holds 86,400 seconds, we want to convert that into life as much as we can by asking you to fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we don't lose and waste time to encourage one another, lest anyone become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. To be grateful and give thanks in all things, and to prioritize family. Lord, there's so many wonderful ways to convert seconds or time into life. May we be those who do it the best. Thank you, Father. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Say thank you again to the King. Thank you, Lord.
Take my heart. Take my mind, trend.
God bless you. Have a great evening. Give someone a hug and enjoy the beautiful night.
Take my heart.